Welcome into this special episode of the Rookie Big Board. We're doing a Devy mock draft, and I have some of the best Devy minds from around the industry here to mock draft with me. I am so excited to do this. We're going to do a two-round mock draft, and we're going to build out mini teams. So we're each going to end up with six players: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, two flex spots, and a super flex spot. But I want to go ahead and start by introducing the folks who are going to be drafting alongside me. And I'm going to start with Katie Flower at FF_Skyler399 on Twitter, one of the best in the industry. But Katie, why don't you tell the folks where they could find all your content?
Sure. Thank you very much. I'm on the Under the Helmet podcast weekly, as well as their premium show where we really get into the strategy and more of the Devy talk. And then also kind of semi-weekly on Off the Rails podcast.
Awesome. Fantastic. And of course, we have Alfred with us. You know, other than from your acclaimed domination of the new Clubhouse space, where else can folks find your content?
Oh, you're too kind. I just saw an opening and decided I'd use my commute to talk about football. And it seems to be pretty popular right now. I do a lot of tweeting. So the @AlfredJF, you can find me there. And most recently, you can find me and my work at campus2canton.com. That's with the number 2. Also, I think campus2canton spelled out fully will link there as well. So it's a brand new website. We focus on the Campus to Canton format, very deep format where you have a full college roster. So extremely deep on that side. Have a lot of incoming freshman content, have a data app that's really special because you can track all players in college. So freshmen who just happened to finish their season, you can track them versus Julio Jones and what his freshman season looked like and put them on the same graph together and tons of other stuff. So definitely go check that out. We're really excited to roll that out.
Awesome. And Brandon Lejeune, who a lot of the videos that you're probably watching, if you're watching the video version of this, you're probably used to the rookie profiles, and Brandon is cutting up all that film, but he's doing much more at Devy Deep Dive. I'm glad to have you here, my man.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the offer. My work, I do a weekly podcast called the Devy Deep Dive Podcast. I kind of focus on film breakdowns of players to help people. A lot of guys out there like to scout players, so I kind of bring that to the table. Have a great product, too. It's called a Devy Dashboard. You can find it on my Twitter pinned tweet. It's a dashboard. It's great. I like it. It's like a launch center for you to do research on players. And it's got a database, and we have a great Slack chat room as well, talking, you know, ball, you know, all the time, trades, doing mock drafts, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I'm ready to get into this. This is going to be fun.
Truly fantastic resources that everybody just listed off. And this is what I do to myself every time. I bring in folks that are smarter than me to mock draft, and then they just clean the floor. So we're going to see if I can keep up this time. But we're going to go ahead and kick this thing off here. And Alfred, you got the 101. Again, this is a Superflex PPR format. We're building mini teams. So every team is going to end up with a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, two flex spots, and a super flex spot. So Alfred, go ahead and kick us off here with the 101.
Yeah, I'm going to go, no real suspense here. I'm going to go Spencer Rattler, quarterback for Oklahoma. He just finished up his redshirt freshman season with the Superflex. I mean, I just think you got to have to, you know, quarterbacks are going to be at a premium. I'm going to probably want two in my mini team. And so there's nothing better than Spencer Rattler, who, you know, we'll see what his eventual peak is, but I think he's the closest type of guy to like a Mahomes, who can throw off platform. His arm is extremely live, has a lot of different touch passes, extremely accurate, and can chip in, you know, 20 to 30 yards on the ground, I think, if needed, even at the next level once we're there. So I think he's the full package, and I'm excited about Spencer Rattler.
Awesome. I think there was a little bit of suspense. I know Rattler is probably the favorite, but there's a lot of options here with the 101, which I think makes Devy so fun. So, Katie, I'll let you go ahead and go next. And I'm going to say probably Katie and Brandon's picks also have a great claim for 101.
Yeah, so it was at this point when I see the Spencer Rattler pick where I start to cry. I start to kick my heels and say, that's not fair. Sam Howell is the consensus 101 at this point. Why? How could you do that to me? And I changed Alfred's name to Wesley Snipes, because that's who I would have taken. And by him taking Spencer Rattler, that I adjusted my strategy and decided that I'm going to go. Running backs are about a 35% hit rate in Debbie. Quarterbacks are about a 6% hit rate. So once the my top quarterback that I trust 100%, I love the way that he can throw downfield with the flick of a wrist and just make it look so easy on platform, off platform. So I love the pick that Alfred made. I took Bijan Robinson from Texas. I think he's an outstanding running back. Bell cows in the NFL are getting rarer. When you can find a guy that can not only run up the middle, but can run with power and can catch, he's the complete back. He's a complete real deal. Just finished off his first season at Texas, 703 yards at a 8.2 average, plus put in another almost 200 yards receiving, 13.1 average with two touchdowns there, six touchdowns overall. So Bijan Robinson was my clear 101 once Rattler was off the board.
And I love that too. If you think about too, the system that he's stepping into with Sark as the new Steve Sarkisian as the new head coach for Texas. Najee Harris was really featured in the passing game. So I hope he picks up that part of it too. Cause as you mentioned, he definitely demonstrated the capacity to catch the ball. So I'm definitely excited about Bijan Robinson. And I think we're seeing a general trend that he's going to be the first running back off the board in startup Devy drafts. All right. So Brandon, we have a great quarterback and a great running back off the board. What are you going to do with this pick here?
Well, being it's, again, super flex, I agree 100% with Alfred. I mean, you have to have a quarterback. I think there's a little bit of depth. I'm hoping one of the running backs falls to me as we come back around. But I'm going to go with DJU from Clemson. I was, considering Sam Howell here. We've seen him play. It's always a little nervous to kind of skip over a guy that's been productive for a guy that has potential production. But I saw enough last year, or this past season rather, when DJ had played Notre Dame, he had a really good game against BC. And I think he showed a lot and he showed a lot of promise. He didn't have one pick at all, but he's got the size. He's got, he's like 250, 6'4", something like that. He's got a good arm. I think he's got two great years of production. He's in a great spot to really develop his game. And I like what I see. So I have a lot of Sam Howell shares. So I figured, what the hell, I'll go DJ this time around.
Yeah, that's a great point, though. In the Devy game, if you're playing in 2 to 3 to 10 leagues, depending on who you are, variety is a really important thing. Because as Katie mentioned, hit rates are just lower in Devy. It's part of the game. So having some variety across your rosters, that's a smart move. I also felt it was a smart move for you to just go ahead and fade trying to pronounce his last name. So I noticed that as well, Brandon.
Yeah. I've tried many times. I'm not sure what it is, actually.
I'm going with Uwalele right now, but that definitely could be wrong. All right.
So, Uwalele, just for the record.
Okay. Look at that. See, much better. There we go. There's the official pronunciation. All right. So I'm up here at the turn with the 104 and 105 in this draft. And, I believe heavily in getting your quarterbacks early and often in Devy leagues. I am kind of known for being a QB hoarder of a sort in the Superflex world. So I'm not going to go with either one of these picks with Sam Howell. I know that's kind of the common narrative, but I'm fading a little bit here. I'm going with my QB1 right now in Devy. I love Jaden Daniels out of Arizona State. Now, I know kind of the knock on him is that he's a little undersized. He's 6'3", 185, but I loved his freshman season. I thought he really stood out. He stepped on the field right away, threw for over 2,900 yards, 17-2 touchdown to interception ratio as a true freshman. I love that, and he ran for another 355 yards. And now they had a really short season in Arizona State this past year, but over 700 passing yards in four games, a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio, another 223 rushing yards on the ground. So he's got the upside with his arm for me and with his legs. So I really like Jaden Daniels, and I'm swinging around on the turn with Keaton Slovis. And I know this is somebody that folks are kind of weary of because he did not have a great 2020 season relative to his fantastic 2019 season, but I like his arm. I like his mechanics. I think he's going to bounce back, and I think he's going to have a really good year. So I'm taking Daniels and Slovis here at the turn. And Brandon, I know you mentioned before this you were thinking about Howell with that first round pick. So are you just going to go ahead and jump on him here at 106?
Yeah, when we did this before with John, I took two QBs early, and it worked out well for me. I know how upset you guys got. And so, I think it's super flex. Yeah, I'm taking Sam Howell. I think the value's here. I think he looked good again this season. I've seen enough for him. I think, again, it's a super flex. You need the quarterbacks. He had a 68% completion percentage this year. The only knock on him I have is his long ball. He only had a 42% completion percentage on balls thrown over 20, 25 yards. So that's the one area that I'm going to be looking for this year, you know, to see if he can improve that. But again, yeah, I'm going to take him. I'm going to think that there could be a little run on running backs here. I'm going to take my chances. There's some deeper guys I'm going to think you're going to fall to me. So I'm going to double down on the QBs here.
All right. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that that's a really interesting choice, Matt, about no Howell for you. I mean, I understand going Daniels over Howell, but Slovis over Howell, can you walk me through that real quick? I mean, what I know what you like about Slovis. I guess what you don't like about Howell exactly that makes you go Slovis over Howell?
Yeah, it's not a far gap for me personally. I've never kind of gotten the hype with Howell. I see what he does. I think he executes the scheme well. I think his rushing ability is a little overrated in terms of translation to the NFL. I think he could be mobile, you know, but I think maybe we're overselling that a little bit. And to Brandon's point, the deep ball inaccuracy, it's inconsistency for me. Sometimes I flip on Sam Howell and I love him, and other times, you know, not so much. So, you know, that's really at the end of the day what it turns out to be. I think it'll be interesting, you know, this year with Dyami Brown and Daz Newsome and Williams and Carter all gone, if he can put the team on his back and really help elevate the players around him, you know, that's going to be difference making for me. And that's how he's going to, you know, kind of leapfrog Slovis, at least in my book.
And actually Slovis as well. I mean, he loses Amon-Ra, he loses Tyler Vaughns. He's really only got Drake London. And then who knows who else is going to pop. So both those quarterbacks have a lot going on this year. So anyway, thanks for indulging me. I just really was curious.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that brings us to Katie with the 107.
Okay, so using the format to my advantage, because as I mentioned earlier, everything changed when Rattler went off the board at 101. And that's okay because I'm all about adapting. And I know that Alfred Wesley is in between. He's got back-to-back picks. And I feel that Brandon's already burned his two quarterbacks. Matt's already burned his two quarterbacks. If Alfred takes one more quarterback, and I think he's going to on this turn, then I can wait until the very last pick to make a quarterback pick, and I'm fine. I'm fine with that at that point because I can continue to take high-profile running backs. And my thought process here was either Breece Hall or Isaiah Spiller. I love them both. I think they're going to go the 101, 102 in a standard format, probably 102, 103, depending. I would think that Spencer Rattler will be the first quarterback off the board in Superflex next year, then followed by the two running backs. And then who knows after that, it's a crapshoot. So I went with Breece Hall. He's another guy that I think can be a bell cow in the NFL. 6'1", 215, puts up two really good seasons at Iowa State. He's rushed now for almost 2,500 total yards in 2 years at a 5.3 average with 30 touchdowns. His receiving, 46 receptions, 432 yards at 9.4. So I like those, you know, running backs that can carry the load in every direction. They can be a bell cow for their NFL team, much higher hit rate. And I'll wait until the very last pick to take my quarterback. And in Superflex, I go strong during my startup draft so that I don't have to reach for Debbie.
I like that. I mean, if you're looking at the numbers, Breece Hall has to jump out to the page. And, you know, consensus Debbie first rounder in a traditional 12-team format. I know we're condensing that a little bit, but it definitely makes sense for Breece Hall to come off the board. And that brings us to Alfred here. You got the turn. You have the 108 and the 109. So I imagine the strategy here of trying to win this draft comes into play as well.
Yes. I actually like the turn when you get it. I mean, it's kind of, you hate waiting all the picks in between, especially on a full-on draft. But it's kind of nice to just get your folks there and not have to gauge the middle of the round or something like that. So I have to say, with the 101, I wasn't really thinking strategy as much. I was just thinking get the best player, and that was Rattler to me. So now, seeing how the draft is going, this is pretty exciting, I think. Katie mentioned her other option here. I think I have to take one running back, and that's going to be Spiller for me. Just awesome production. Very similar, actually, to Breece Hall. burst onto the scene as a true freshman. He's doing it in the SEC West, for crying out loud. You know, Breece Hall is wonderful. He is my number one running back in that class, but Spiller is not far behind. And I'll say in his freshman year, he looked a little bit slow-ish, especially on the long speed. But I thought he actually got better and more bursty as a sophomore, which is really nice to see. It's, I mean, he's like 6'1", 225. He's already, you know, NFL size, like bell cow size right now. And 49 receptions in his first 2 years. So he's not just the, you know, two down banger at 225. He's catching passes, 50 passes almost basically in his first 2 years. You can't really say much more about Isaiah Spiller. I mean, they are 1A, 1B in that class, and I'm thrilled to get him here. So I've locked up my bell cow. I am going to run it back with a quarterback, as Katie said, predicted I would. At this point, I think there's one more quarterback you can kind of bank on as a future stud, and that's Bryce Young for Alabama. You know, he's risky. Some people don't love the guy. I think he's the closest thing to Kyler since Kyler. He is a little undersized. He runs around like a madman. He's got a quick short release, almost like that shortstop throw across the, you know, across the infield where he can just flick it real quick. And he had one play last year, granted mop up duty. They were up like 56-0 probably, but he's dropping back, avoids the defensive end, curls around, and then finds, I think it was actually Devontae Smith, crossing and threads the needle like on the run. It was a beautiful play. And if it hadn't happened at 56-0 in the score, people would have probably been crazy. So I think he's got as much upside as anybody taken at this point. It's just a little unknown, but I'm happy to put him in my super flex spot.
Hey man, all I'm saying is if Mac Jones can push himself into a super flex first round rookie pick playing at Alabama, I'm pretty sure Bryce Young will get there as well. So I think that's a pretty good investment. And to your point with Isaiah Spiller, I was really high on him after his freshman year, but the narrative, right, was, oh, he put up these big games against, you know, weak opponents, but he came out this year and he looked great against the SEC. So I, you know, all aboard the Isaiah Spiller train. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, he had like 50% of his touchdowns and yards against like two terrible teams in his freshman year. And that actually made me, you know, I noticed that too. And that made me a little less excited about him. But yeah, this year was wonderful. And I think there's a big cliff here with quarterbacks. So that's why I'm happy to get Bryce Young.
All right, I like it. Katie, we are back to you here. This is going to be pick 110.
And this is, again, where the plan is coming together great, because now all the quarterbacks are off the board. I can sit and wait and make my last pick as quarterback. And as far as quarterback goes, all the ones that have been taken can still be busts. We won't know. And even if they make it to the NFL in the first round, that still is not any guarantee. Look at the guys that are 2 years in and they're done. Or 1 year in, Josh Rosen, he was very highly touted in Debbie. Sam Darnold is struggling and may not keep his job. And, you know, I can go on and on about all the young guys that haven't even made it to the past their rookie contracts. So I'm going to keep my foot on the pedal. I knew that Spiller was probably going to go, but I'm very happy to get Tank Bigsby, another big running back. This guy from Auburn, 6 foot, 204 pounds, just finished his freshman season. So I got a pair of sophomore running backs plus one of the top running backs from next year's class. And Tank Bigsby put up 834 yards in the SEC West. So he's got that benchmark at 6.0 average with five touchdowns, did a little bit of receiving. He's got another year with Bo Nix coming up. And so I look forward to him continuing his progress, and they're going to have to do it under a new head coach.
Yeah, I like Tank Bigsby a lot. He lives up to the nickname. If you've never seen Bigsby play, just like type it into YouTube and just watch some clips, because he plays like the tank. He earns that nickname. I love that pick there. And capitalizing on running backs, a three running back start, and you talked about those hit rates, so that makes a lot of sense. Brandon, we're going to carry over to you here with the 111.
Yeah, so I'm taking a running back here, and it's actually a player that I thought was taken for some reason in this tiny draft, but wasn't. But anyway, I'm happy with who I selected with Trevion Henderson, incoming freshman at Ohio State. If you watch this kid's high school tape, it's really, really impressive. He's 5'11", 195 pounds. So he's got a good, decent frame coming in as a freshman. He should get a really good opportunity in Ohio State. But he is a consistent first 2024 player taken in all Debbie startup drafts and C2C drafts and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's going to be, I think, a relatively safe pick in the 2024 class. But when you watch this kid's film, he's fast. But I think the most impressive thing to me when I watch running backs and trying to scout these players in the, you know, whether they're coming out of high school or freshman or sophomore, is their ability. Once they hit the second level, what is their vision and manipulation of defenders once they are in space? Right. And I think this guy is elite in that category. If you actually watch his high school tape and stop it and watch it, you'll see that he's actually setting up safeties and defensive backs in the secondary and then creating even more space for himself. And I think that is his calling card with his elite speed. He's got great contact balance. I mean, he's got everything. He's the number one ranked running back really on both platforms. And I can see why. I think he's got a good future and not a lot of people in front of him. I'm not a big Master Teague guy. I don't think he's going to, you know, really take a lot. So I think this kid's got a great opportunity to really come out his freshman year and put on a lot of production.
Mayan Williams.
Yeah, I know. He's the hot name on Twitter now. You know, there was some thing out on Twitter, and I know he's like the guy right now. Everyone's all over him. So, yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think you're right, spot on. I mean, that's what I see for Trevion Henderson. I mean, I don't see who else they need to give the ball to. Some people seem to like Evan Pryor, who is another top five running back. I don't know why they keep just stacking their depth chart. It's so frustrating in college that happens. But I agree with you, and I think the best point you said is manipulating guys in the open field. That is something you watch him do. And he, guys are just on skates, and he's just almost on a shuffle step, and you cannot get a hand on him. I mean, it's incredible. I've said in my review for Henderson that we don't know if he has power because he never has to touch anyone. You know, and all his runs, you can't get a hand on him at his level of competition. So we'll see. But yeah, he's wonderful. That's a great pick.
Absolutely. It's interesting strategy-wise, you know, when you're talking Devy drafts, are you willing to invest in these players that have never played a down in college? And I'll be honest, traditionally, I don't do that, right? Because I'm not a patient fantasy football player, right? I want those folks that are heading to the league quickly. But there's two things that are, you know, for me working in favor of Brandon's pick here. One, the depth chart, and that's been touched on. But two, I'm not sure there's many folks out here watching more high school tape than Brandon. So when in cutting it up, so when he endorses somebody, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm willing to give him that first round stamp of approval. And we have one more pick here coming in at what would be a traditional first round for a Devy draft, and that's the 112. And I'm going to go ahead and take my guy, Eric Gray. You know, I'm kind of known for being a Vol homer. He's no longer a Vol, so you can't call me a homer with this pick. But I hate it as a college football fan, but as a Devy player, I love the transfer to Oklahoma for Eric Gray. You know, for me, he's somebody who was very good in the first level of the field, not so great, you know, making those breakaway plays. He was a powerful back. I liked his vision in the A and B gap, and he could get to the second level with good explosion, but then he could never quite break that guy. You know, he never quite had that breakaway speed. And I think two things are going to happen. One, he's going to get coached up at Oklahoma, but two, he's going to be running in space, right? Like he's not going to have to worry about necessarily creating his own space like he had to in the SEC. He's going to be running in space. I think the box scores are going to overflow. I'm not worried about anybody coming back on that roster. I think he's easily the most talented running back there. So, you know, part of Devy is projecting out to the league, but part of Devy is also just projecting out players that are going to gain value, you know, over the next year. And you might even be able to flip him, even if you don't necessarily love that projection to the league. So after we're about halfway through this draft here, so just a quick recap. I have Jaden Daniels, Eric Gray, and Keaton Slovis. Katie has Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, and Tank Bigsby. Brandon, DJ, you, Trevion Henderson, and Sam Howell. And then Alfred, we have Spencer Rattler, Isaiah Spiller, and Bryce Young. So I'll go ahead with the 201 here and kick us off in with the second half of this draft. And I can't believe, I feel like every time I talk with Alfred about Jahmyr Gibbs, that he's so in love with him. So I'm surprised that I was able to get Gibbs here a 5'11", 200-pound back out of Georgia Tech. You know, kind of a small sample size. Tech only played 7 games this past season, but 460 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 24 receptions for 303 yards, and another 3 touchdowns there. And that really impressed me because the Georgia Tech offense is a hot mess currently, and it's not necessarily their fault. They went through a coaching change, and remember, they've been running that triple offense forever, so they're literally rebuilding the program and the players there. So I thought Gibbs played really well for having almost everything going against him in this first season. So I think, you know, his projection can be really, really high over the next couple of years. And Brandon, that will bring us to 202 here.
Yeah, and I'm going to fill my wide receiver spot with David Bell from Purdue. He had another good season this year. He had 8 touchdowns this year. His freshman season last year, he had 7 touchdowns. What I like about him watching his film, he's physical. He's got the ability to create space for himself, which is what I, you know, high regard for wide receivers. It's his ability. It looks like from the limited tape of the angles you can get without looking at all 22 film, he has a decent release package. And I really like his body control and his hands. He's got a 69% catch rate. There was this one play against Illinois in the back of the end zone where he went up and contorted his body and made the play. And, he just looks really good. He's my, RB or my wide receiver 2 in that class next year. He's not going to outrun guys. So I think his knock is if he gets to the second level, I'm not sure he's going to have that ability to outrun defenders all the way to the end zone, but I think he's got enough play speed. But to me, the way he creates space is what I like about David Bell. So I'm going to take a swing with him.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, for those tracking here, first wide receiver off the board, you know, talking positional value, we've been drafting quarterbacks and we've been drafting running backs. So it's good to get some wide receiver perspective, and it'll be interesting to see how folks fill out their roster positions in that sense. So we're going to head over to Katie now with the 203.
All right. So in the past few picks, while I can appreciate that they're all good players, I did not have my eye at all on a wide receiver yet at this point. Hit rates about 23% for wide receiver and Devy, which isn't bad, but compared to 35% for running back, and there's still some top running backs that I'm going to take and stay with the running back, Kendall Milton out of Georgia. And I love Zeus White. Zamir White is staying in school for one more year. I did consider him, but he is somebody I think you can get in Devy drafts in round 3, round 4, even later, but you're not going to get Kendall Milton later. So, he, as a freshman in 7 games, put up only 193 yards, 5.5 average. He did have 1 reception for 22 yards, but he's the real deal. Again, just another in the line of big-bodied Georgia running backs that have some speed. He's 6'1", 220 pounds. The future is bright, even splitting the backfield with Zamir White this coming season, who carried most of the load last year. Georgia has had success with DeAndre Swift and Nick Chubb and Todd Gurley and Sony Michel and everybody just having different roles, and they've gone on to be successful in the NFL. So talk about a pipeline. Give me a Georgia Bulldog, and I'm going to use the super flex position for a running back. And again, because I want good players with a higher hit rate, and then I can trade for quarterback at the time when I need them, or I can make sure to go heavy on them in the startup so that I don't have to worry about chasing that really elusive. And once they get to the NFL, the studs are so hard to predict. Like Patrick Mahomes was a 3-star guy at Texas Tech. Even when he was drafted in the first round as a rookie, people were still skeptical. And I said, the best thing that can happen for this guy is to sit behind Alex Smith for a year. And they did. They actually did. They don't sit guys in the NFL and teach them and let them learn and let them, because quarterback is so tough. And that, I think, helped Patrick Mahomes more than anything. He had the skills, and that just made him even better. So I had to go with running back again.
That's fantastic. And one thing to note too, with the Georgia running backs, you can have, like, right, so they use multiple running backs, I guess, is the point that I'm trying to make here. They never just run one guy, and usually they'll go 2 or 3 running backs deep. So, you know, getting Kendall Milton here, I think, is a perfect pick. I love Zamir White as well, but, you know, we have 2 lower body surgeries at this point with White. So, you know, but White's going to get carries. Milton's going to get carries. So, you know, you can have, you can stash them all on your Devy roster if you want to, but you can, you know, if we were going to go four or five rounds deep, that's when you would take White. So I think that's a really good pick there and really well explained. We're going to go to Alfred here back on the turn.
Yes. So I got to say, Brandon, you said David Bell is your wide receiver two, and you had every wide receiver available to you. So does that mean you're going to be moving him up to wide receiver one?
No, I mean, I like Pickens, but okay. Again,
you just
wanted to
go Bell.
Yeah. I was just going to go Bell. I love them both.
So. All right. You teed me up then. Cause I'm going Pickens here. Okay, I was pretty surprised that he is around. I get that receivers, I guess, are, you know, it just feels like there's more of them. So, you know, the bell cow running back is, you know, kind of the most elusive, especially in the NFL. So happy to get Pickens here. I mean, that's great. I wind up with him in a lot of these mocks, somehow. I mean, he seems to be slipping a little bit. I know the concerns with him, a little bit of attitude off the field stuff. On the field, he flashes as good as you can ask for. I mean, there's some plays where it's just absolutely phenomenal. He's got wide receiver one alpha size. He's got everything you could ask for, except I will say, I mean, the one thing he hasn't done is put together like some huge dominator season yet. You know, he did break out as a freshman. I would love to see him get 30% of all the receiving share in this coming year, but I don't know. I really like Jabaron Burton too, so I'm not sure how that's going to be divvied up. But I think a full season of JD Daniels, you know, Pickens is going to get himself a first round selection because of his, he's got everything else you could ask for. And a full season of a quarterback with an actual arm is going to do a lot for him. So yeah, very excited about Pickens here. I'm happy to have him. And then my next spot, you know, I think you could flip flop Milton and the guy I'm going to take. They're both very good. But I went Zach Evans, another member of that really good freshman running back class last year, and another guy who may have a bit of an attitude head case situation going on. But here's the thing with Evans I feel a little more comfortable about. I know he had a ridiculous recruiting situation, wound up at Texas Christian, and then had a funky beginning to the season. It was COVID, all this sort of stuff, and he had a weird recruiting. But he finished really strong, and by the end of the season, he was pretty much their guy and ripping off 80-yard runs, you know, on the reg. His end of the season, he had 200-yard games in the last three. Went 12 for 100 against Kansas. I mean, it's Kansas, but it's still Division I football, kind of. And then 7 for 130 and 2 against Louisiana Tech in their bowl game, I believe. Again, it's Louisiana Tech, but they made a bowl. I mean, their defense wasn't atrocious. So 200-yard games in the last three. He also had a 7 for 81 and 1 against Baylor. He caught 8 passes. He caught 5 against Oklahoma, 5 for 56. I think it's we're seeing the calm before the storm with Zach Evans. I think there's a really good chance he is their stud bell cow next year. And then you talked, Matt, about a value rise. I mean, Zach Evans by the end of next year could be, you know, the second or third running back in the class. But you know, if he still keeps this long speed that he's got, I mean, he's got 80 yards long speed. So really like him. Think it's a low risk, high reward proposition at this point in the draft.
All right. Before we move on to the next pick, I'm just noticing a trend within this draft here. We had Pickens off the board. So we had Milton. And then Pickens, so we had back-to-back Bulldogs. And then we had Zach Evans, who I believe was originally committed to the Bulldogs, right, before he ended up back at TCU. And we also has Alfred, a known Gators fan with a team pretty much full of SEC players, but no Gators. So I'm enjoying that personally. And with that, Katie, I'll pass you on to the 206 here.
Well, thank you. And now I'm out of spots to take a running back. If you guys didn't have this format where I had to take a wide receiver and I had to take a quarterback, I'd be taking another running back right now. But that's okay. I will go with one of my top wide receivers. And I just can't believe that Wesley didn't snipe me on this one. And I appreciate that you either forgot about him or you feel like you had to get a running back. So I'm going to go with Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. It's really cool as a Razorback fan to have two wide receivers on the team that are over 6 foot tall that can dominate. And in Devy drafts last year, Trey Knox was the guy. And I kept saying, don't fade Treylon Burks, dude. This guy is really great. Trey Knox was banged up this year. Treylon Burks came on strong with Felipe Franks as the quarterback. We're going to probably have KJ Jefferson next year. But in two seasons, he's put up 1,300 yards at a 16.2 average, which is pretty good as a wide receiver. 7 touchdowns. He's even done a little bit of rushing. He's got special gloves because he's got huge mitts. He's got a 10.5-inch hands or close to 11-inch. And he can be the alpha in the NFL as an alpha receiver. So as my one wide receiver, I'll take him all day. Woo pig suey.
I totally forgot that you're a Razorback. And I kind of thought Treylon Burks would be a sneaky last round pick. And I really thought he might come back to me. Not disrespectful. I mean, you all are all very sharp. But, there's some other guys, Garrett Wilson, some other players that could have gone. And I thought I could sneak Treylon Burks in the last round. But kudos, Katie. I forgot. You're wearing a Razorbacks hat. I just forgot. I knew you wouldn't. Two picks. I knew you wouldn't let Treylon go.
When we went into this draft, I was planning on taking Treylon Burks just to spite Katie because I knew she was going to take him. I knew she was. So that's a good pick.
She might have.
I love David Bell. So if you would have taken Treylon Burks, guess what? I would have gotten David Bell, and I'd still be happy.
If I had sniped Burks after the Rattler situation, she might have just reached through the screen and like strangled me. So maybe it's better that I didn't do it.
You want to stay my friend? Is that what you're saying?
I think this is a great example, though, of the fact that Devy drafts are not predictable. All right. It's one of the things that makes the game so fun. You know, you could say your rookie drafts are unpredictable or your dynasty startup drafts. Devy drafts are the wild, wild west. You just do not know what's going to happen. And that's what makes it so, so fun. And it also makes it really important to know your league mates. So, Brandon, let's see if you know me well enough and if you're going to snipe one of the guys that I'm after here with your next pick.
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm going to say no. But as anyone knows who follows me on Twitter or on my dashboard members and stuff, they know I love Jalen Waddle. I mean, he's my wide receiver one going into the class. So I'm going to pick somebody that I think could be the second Waddle kind of is Kishon Boutte from LSU. I think this kid is explosive. I don't know what it is about explosive playmakers in the open field with the ball, but I love this kid. I mean, he really came on last year. I mean, against Alabama, he caught it, had 111 yards. Then he played Florida and they had 108 yards. And then everyone remembers that last game against Mississippi, Ole Miss rather, when he had 308 yards and 3 TDs. I mean, he just dominated, and he's got such playmaking ability, great ball skills. Again, a kid who creates space for himself. That's the number one thing I look for in a wide receiver, and he should get just a ton of targets. You know, I don't know if it's going to be Miles Brennan or Max Johnson next year throwing him the ball, but if you look at that depth chart on LSU, he is going to be the primary receiver on that team. And I think it's really good. He's 6 foot, 185 pounds. He's a little taller than Waddle, but almost about the same amount of weight. And I think he's an explosive playmaker. I'm really excited to see what he does this upcoming season.
All right. That's definitely a great pick there. It was not going to be my pick though, so I'm fine with that. But definitely a worthwhile one at this spot. To start the turn here, I'm going to go with a wide receiver that I guess we don't like when wide receivers stay in college too long, but I'm still really high on my guy, Chris Olave. I thought he would have been a first round pick if he came out this year. And that's what I thought about Devonta Smith last year. And I was like, why is he going back to college? We found out why he went back to college, right? Because he was able to dominate. And of course, Jalen Waddle was part of that. But man, Chris Olave, he's in a great system. You know, I'm still excited about the quarterback coming up there at Ohio State, most likely going to be CJ Stroud. It's a system that elevates the wide receiver position. So I did wait as long as I could on wide receiver, as I traditionally do. And, you know, this plays into strategy as well. And I like to talk about this when I'm doing mock drafts. But personally, I'm somebody who on the dynasty side usually prioritizes wide receiver in a startup. So on the Devy side, I'll usually fade those wide receivers because I'm trying to project my needs. So I waited as long as I could on wide receiver and took Chris Olave here. I love his hands. I love his possession style. And I think it's going to definitely play well when it comes to NFL draft time in 2022. And then with my next pick, I'm taking somebody who I don't understand. He keeps falling. I'm doing a lot of Campus DeCanton and Devy mock drafts, and he just keeps falling. And I'm grabbing Jerrion Ealy out of Ole Miss everywhere I can. I love Ealy. I think he's explosive. I think he has the ability to maneuver around the field well. I like his vision. And I know there's a little bit of hype. Maybe he wants to be a baseball player down the line. He's a little undersized. But I think he's somebody who, in Lane Kiffin's system, is just going to continue to be utilized more and is really going to gain value here over the next year, as he now has become, you know, he's going to be draft eligible in 2022. So I think we're going to start getting more and more excited about Jerrion Ealy. So I'm happy to round up my team with that extra running back here in my flex spot. And I'm going to pass it back on over to Brandon.
Yeah, well, I was thinking Kendall Milton was a guy that might fall to me. I said at the beginning of the show here that I was going to kind of fade that. So good pick for you. That was good. But I'm going to go along with the, you know, not just a great Georgia running back, but Alabama seems to churn out some good running backs as well. And I'm going with Chase McClellan here. I love his size, 5'11", 212 pounds. I like running backs who are at least 210 pounds. A running back for me under 200 pounds, you know, especially when they become juniors or sophomores and they can't seem to hit that, you know, that threshold. So I'm always going to lean towards the bigger backs. But I mean, he's a big bruising back. He's not going to beat you with long speed. There was a couple plays where he's getting chased, you know, in the second level last year. But I think, you know, he's got a crowded backfield. We don't know what's going to happen with Trey Sanders. Brian Robinson Jr. might get some carries. We don't know yet. So it's going to be shaken out. But I'm going to go with the talent that I saw. And if you guys didn't realize, I mean, he just kicked the butt out of the Arizona Razorbacks his last game. 6 carries for 95 yards. Those Razorbacks got lit up. You remember? Did you hear that, Katie? I mean, those
you're poking the bear here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had to, Katie. Razorback
football has been the doormat of the SEC West for a long time. But now with Coach Pittman, the recruiting that they've been doing, I really think that they're coming along. Their defense last year was less scary than it has been in years past. We're number one in baseball right now. We're number 12, moving up to number 10 in basketball. We're going to be a 3 seed in the NCAA basketball tournament. Football's next. Hunter Yurecek is doing a great job as the AD, and better days are coming. So, yeah, you can brag about kicking a down team while they're down. Go for it.
Great.
I love it. I love it.
That's great.
The best part of your draft should be the trash talk, and we are emulating that perfectly here. And Katie, maybe get them back here with this final pick for you.
I think I will. It's been 13 picks since the last quarterback was taken off the board, and there's been a lot of talent. But I got a talented quarterback here, and I'll take the chance. You know, there's going to be a quarterback battle at Ohio State. CJ Stroud, 4-star athlete out of Rancho Cucamonga, California. He's got everything. He's a top pro style quarterback, but yet he's mobile enough. He was the one guy that came in when Lawrence was hurt, and he rushed one time for 48 yards and a touchdown. So that's pretty good. And, you know, there's a lot of talk. Is he going to be able to beat out Jake Miller? I think so. And then Kyle McCord, 5-star stud coming in. Will they go with him instead? But then next year, they've got a commitment from Quinn Ewers. I think the ideal situation for Ryan Day and company, let CJ Stroud take the reins for 2 years, redshirt Ewers. McCord's going to transfer at some point. And even if Stroud doesn't win the job, even if he's the guy that transfers, steel sharpens steel. He will be in a big battle. He's a smart kid. He's got a great arm, a lot of talent. And I still think he's going to end up being a top quarterback in his class, whether he stays at Ohio State with all the talent there or he ends up being the one transferring. But I'll take him with the risk at the position. There were other considerations, but give me Stroud.
All right. I like that one a lot. And Alfred, last pick in the draft, take us home.
Yeah. All right. So I like how Katie's theme of the hit rate, you know, she carried it all the way through the draft. And I appreciate that strategy. And she was true to her strategy. Man, I could go so many places with this pick because it's a flex. I could really take anyone except a quarterback. I love Marvin Mims. I mean, I'm going to go with him, pair him with Rattler. So I got a little Oklahoma stack. You know, he just was so good. Buttery smooth routes. He could win in so many different ways. He's not anything. I would say he doesn't have any one athletic, you know, just showstopper type attribute, but he is just really good. He absolutely thoroughly dominated Texas high school football. And I think he's one of those guys where we can all learn a little something from our prospecting, because he was pretty far down the list on like Rivals and 24/7 Sports as a recruit. But when a guy puts up 2,500 receiving yards in one high school season, you really just got to pay attention, because when you're good, sometimes you're just freaking good. And I think that might be Marvin Mims, because he did that his senior year in high school, broke Texas State, you know, high school records, and it was a little bit overlooked. I mean, he went to Oklahoma, so he wasn't that overlooked, but, you know, he wasn't considered one of the elites. And then he came on first game, he scores a touchdown. I'm pretty sure he returned punts. You know, he's good at football. So I kind of just think he is. And I love Boutte, thought maybe I could get him. I love McClellan, I thought maybe I could get him, but this room is just too sharp. And I will happily settle for Mims, who's my second receiver, my wide receiver two in that 2023 class right now, or 2023 class.
I was a little surprised you didn't go Garrett Wilson there.
He was in play, but I just think, I don't know.
You heard him feed him up as that trap, right? He said that earlier. He said I could get Garrett Wilson. I saw what your little game.
Garrett Wilson's really good. I don't know. I don't know if it's prospect fatigue or what. I've just kind of fallen a little off, and I'm going for the new fresh face in Mims.
Well, that wraps up our mock draft here. One thing I always like to do when I finish up the mock drafts, I like for us to go around, do a quick little recap of the teams, and I'm going to ask each of you to tell me your favorite draft here, your favorite mini roster that we built, and you can't pick your own. So I'm going to give you a second to think on that while I do a quick recap on the teams. And Brandon, you know how this works, so just so you know, you're going to be the first one. You're going to have to give your answer. But
no worries.
Drafting out of the one spot was Alfred, Spencer Rattler, Isaiah Spiller, George Pickens, Zachary Evans, Marvin Mims, and Bryce Young. Katie was drafting out of the two spot, ended up with CJ Stroud, Bijan Robinson, Treylon Burks, Breece Hall, Tanks Bigsby, and Kendall Milton. And Brandon, you were out of the three spot, had DJU, Travion Henderson, David Bell, Kayshon Boutte, Jace McClellan, and Sam Howell. And then I was picking at the four spot on the turn for this draft with Jaden Daniels, Eric Gray, Chris Olave, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jerrion Ealy, and Keaton Slovis. So, Brandon, you have never picked one of my teams when doing these mock drafts. So I will rephrase the question for you specifically and say, did you like Katie or Alfred's team better?
Well, I'm sorry, Matt. I'm going to go with Katie. I think Alfred has a more rounded team, but I'm just intrigued by Katie's because she is in the catbird seat. If all those running backs hit, she is going to be an open market for the trade down the road. I think she is a good strategy there of being able to flip. If any one of those running backs turns into an RB1 on our dynasty rosters, even an RB2, and if she's short on a quarterback, she's going to be able to flip one of them if she had all that depth on her roster. So I thought Alfred, he's got a lot of my favorite players too. I'm a big Mims fan as well, but I'm going to give Katie the nod on this one.
All right. That's one vote for Katie. So Katie, I'll let you go next then. Your favorite roster that was not your own.
I would have to say Alfred's, just because of the Spencer Rattler pick, and the rest are good. I wouldn't have picked Marvin Mims there, but and very close, Brandon. I love your team too, but I Spencer Rattler, I've been on him since I saw him in the high school All-American game, and I just think he is the real deal. Some people question his maturity level, the way that he treats his teammates, but the way that he treats his teammates is to make them rise up, and it's not in a mean way. It's just his way. And it does work. His teammates love him. And it's different from a guy like Matt Corral that just, you know, lambasts his coach and immature and a lot of different reasons. But I have to go with Alfred's team because of Spencer Rattler and Isaiah Spiller.
Yeah. All right. So one vote for Katie, one vote for Alfred. So Alfred, I'll let you go ahead and give us your favorite team that's not your own.
Yeah. So I think, sorry, Matt. No one's picking you. I think I got to go Cady Flower as well. You know, it was a bold strategy, Cotton, but she certainly, you know, and this is one difference. It's not C2C, right? So we don't need the actual college production here. We are only looking at NFL, and she's got four running backs that could all, you know, be blue chip guys at the next level. And Treylon Burks is super exciting as well. The only thing there's other quarterbacks I would have taken over Stroud. I'm not a huge Stroud fan, and I think you laid it out nicely, but I think his path at Ohio State could get rocky. And then you're talking about transferring, and it just, I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing for him for one way or another. I would have maybe gone Ritter or a JT Daniels myself, another SEC. And of course, no Gators because we stink pretty much anyway. But I think Cady Flower, though, because those running backs, I mean, you know, it was bold. And I kind of was like, where's she going with this? I mean, how could she just not have a quarterback? But in the short rosters, it wasn't crazy deep. There was still quarterbacks to be had later. So interesting strategy, and it paid off.
Yep.
And I just want to point out that transferring was okay for Justin Fields. It worked out. And, you know,
and Murray and Mayfield. I mean, it's right. Definitely not the end of the world, but.
All right. So that's two votes for Cady. Alfred gets a vote. This is tough. I purposely made myself go last here because I have not made up my mind. You know, when it's tough like this, I try to pick out a couple players, right? You want to win the best player when it comes to a draft like this. I'm going to go with Brandon Squad only because he went with my super flex approach, right? He stacked up with some nice quarterbacks there in DJU and Sam Howell. And I also, you know, the Travion Henderson pick, I love the idea that we could easily have a stud running back that kind of balances out that approach. Jace McClellan, I think he's got a little bit more of an uphill battle, but you know, we kind of see with these Alabama backs, even if they have to wait a couple years, when they get their shot, they get their shot and they look really good. And then, I mean, Boutte and Bell, that's great value for the wide receiver position. So, Alfred, I love the Spiller pick, especially with your roster, and getting Rattler was really tempting. And then, you know, I think we've said it before, but Cady, you know, the running back heavy strategy, I think, looks really great when I look back on it. Like seeing Tank and Bijan there was what was kind of originally making me lean in that direction. But I figured, although Brandon never gives me any love, I'd give him some love here. and everybody will walk away with at least one vote except for the host, which is fine because I am happy being here and learning from you all on this draft. And hopefully the viewers and the listeners appreciated that as well. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. Tell us whose team that you thought was best, and make sure to check out all of these folks' work. Thank you again, everybody, for being here. This was a fantastic exercise, and we got to do it again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. This was really cool.